Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, we're going to hit Execanon talking about the Devers trade here in just a second. What a polarizing trade. We'll get to it in just a second. Seth, you just sent me one of the plays you were describing in the previous segment. This play where it's a Texans run play to the right against the Chiefs in the playoff game, and John Metchie is lined up to the left in the slot with a cornerback over him.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. Metchie just he eventually starts running, but he stands there like a statue for about a second and a half. It feels like a minute and a half. It feels interminable within the context of how fast an NFL play moves.
Yeah, run a zone run to the right, yeah. And Metchie just stands there at the snap while the cornerback goes in to make a tackle.
Makes
for
the
loss.
Play like J.J. Watt coming across the formation, you know, like it was.
And it looked like it might have been a blitz, but I'm also inclined to think, just by the way the defense lined up, that they that slot corner knew that it was run.
Yeah,
either by whatever the call was, or maybe they checked run. It just there were so many things in that Chiefs game where I'm watching. And then there was another play I didn't send you where the center and the guard are just not on the same page.
Yeah.
And it could have been a really nice Joe Mixon run, but they both end up blocking. They take two guys to block one guy in a situation that's not supposed to be a double team.
Yep.
And it's a tackle for a loss. It was over and over again when I'm watching this game, just a smidgen of competence in coaching. And you could have had some nice runs that popped in the first half there. It's so frustrating. They were so poorly coached.
The entire offense. My question to you, is Nick Sirianni, head coach of the Eagles, vindicated? Sounded like a dumb thing to say back in the day.
It sounds like a dumb thing to say. This is what I run into sometimes when I watch people breaking down film on the internet. And there's a lot of guys that, like, they're really smart and they know what they're talking about. But if they haven't coached, they don't, or played, but coached more specifically, they don't understand how many mental errors there are in a football game. Because sometimes they'll spend 10 minutes trying to figure out why a defensive coordinator called this play the way it was. And I'm like, dude, it's like somebody screwed up. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. You're right to wonder, like, why was it run this way? And it was because somebody screwed up.
Yep.
But, like, when players are continually screwing up over and over and over again, then you've got a pattern and it all falls back to it's not being coached properly.
Correct.
It's either too complex or it's not communicated clearly or whatever it might be. And from the pre-snap operation last year to the missed assignments, the various plays where offensive linemen are just standing around not realizing there's somebody to block.
Yeah.
It was mass incompetence. And whatever your PFF grade is or anything, like, it's glaring when you watch it. By the end of the year, it was just evident that this, like, Slowick has not put together an offense where you can maximize guys' physical abilities. So Nick Caley can make a huge, huge, huge improvement just by, as Nick Sirianni would tell you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Do our guys know what they're supposed to do?
Exactly.
Let's get that first. And then we'll try to be whiteboard geniuses after that.
All right, you know this show loves anonymous quotes more than maybe any other show in the marketplace or any marketplace. And The Athletic is the best place to go to get your articles with Execanon, Scout Anon, QB Anon, whatever it may be. This is a baseball one. The Rafael Devers trade, there are similarities to the Luka Doncic trade in terms of how people feel about it. People may be feeling like the star player going out, that the team trading him didn't get enough in return. I would even say even the timing of it. Remember the timing of the Luka trade, Seth? Was it like midnight on a Saturday night where everybody thought Sham Sharania got hacked? And then similarly, that Devers trade came down kind of like during Sunday night baseball. You know, they're like all of a sudden they're doing a Dodgers-Giants game turns into just a round table on a Devers trade with the game in the background almost. Mm-hmm. These are the two most interesting quotes to me in this article in The Athletic. that were who wrote this here? This is Brittany Giroli went and got quotes from a bunch of scouts and managers and executives in Major League Baseball. One American League evaluator said this: "We got our Luka Doncic trade. It should have happened in spring training. No one saw it coming now. Our group chat was blowing up." End quote. That's fun. The other quote, which I think makes this interesting, is an NL executive said this: "It took some real courage for Boston to do this, but I actually think this is the right long-term decision for the franchise. Devers had become an imperfect fit on their roster, and the relationship seems to have clearly soured. Freeing up $250 million and getting some nice young talent in return is a great deal for them in a vacuum," end quote. So you got one executive over here saying, oh, it's the Doncic trade all over again. And you got this other executive saying, probably a good time to get out of the Rafael Devers business, especially if the relationship is damaged beyond repair.
You know? Right, right. Yeah. Baseball is almost the opposite of everything we just talked about, where in football, it's really easy to see when the chemistry isn't right or when guys aren't functioning properly or whatever. In baseball, you know, some people sometimes say it's like an individual sport played on the same.
Yeah.
It's a team sport, yes, but like all these guys have individual performances.
Silos and vacuums.
Yeah. Yep. But which is an oversimplification of it, because the chemistry does matter and all of that. We've seen that with the Astros. There's like an undefinable element to the Astros that allows them, like, frankly, to be where the hell they are right now, despite having no business having the record that they do.
It's a great example. The chemistry matters in baseball.
Yeah,
no
so the
question.
Chemistry matters, and I think that I try real hard to veer more towards the side of, well, we don't know what's actually going on. The stuff we see publicly about Rafael Devers doesn't look so hot in terms of how it affects team chemistry and everything. And like, that's, if you want veteran players that are like relatively selfless, I don't need them to be, you know, it doesn't have to be win one for the Gipper all the time.
No. Nope.
But like, okay, are you willing to play third base because we need you? And he's not. It makes a lot of sense if it's that bad, and that you can also clear some things up to move forward.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Forward.
Yeah, most of the criticism they're getting, and this is probably how I would feel if I were a Red Sox fan, is just the timing of the whole thing. Not even the strange timing of it being a Sunday night in the middle of June. The fact that they're doing it in season after a stretch of baseball where they've actually been playing pretty well. Like, this has been the Red Sox have been a disappointing team this year. They're 38-36, but they were on a nice little run. You just sweep your arch rivals, and then literally hours after the game, you're pulling your best player off of a plane to bring him back to the stadium to send him to San Francisco for four guys who I know that there's varying degrees of optimism that these can be pieces that'll be good pieces for a good team down the road. But I mean, honestly, you need to put a pin in the date that they made this trade and see what the record is afterwards. Because chemistry or no chemistry or whatever problem he may have been in the clubhouse, the fact of the matter is Rafael Devers was their most valuable or most productive player. Bregman's probably been their MVP before the injury, but Devers has been their most productive guy for the course of the year because he's been healthy and he's been good. You torpedoed your season in all likelihood. You know, you forfeited 2025, I think, by making this trade. Not a lot of star power on that baseball team. So I think that's the big criticism they're getting. Because you can argue either way. Like, you can argue, hey, it was a bad trade because you didn't get enough in return. I think you could argue it was a good trade if you feel like 8 years, $250 million left on that deal is just too much to pay anybody, let alone Rafael Devers.
And it's also a trade that I think you make if you feel secure in your position as a GM, that it's not you're not going to get fired necessarily, that you got to do a long-term – I'm making a long-term move here.
That's a great point. I know every GM will say
that, like, I don't worry about my job. Yeah, whatever. Bogus. Like, if you're in desperate straits, I don't think you make this move because you're just worried about this year and nothing else.
This seems like, unlike the Luka move, because there are similarities with the Luka move with the Mavericks, this is where the road forks a little bit, is it does feel like, reading all the articles, that from ownership on down, maybe even down to the clubhouse, that people realized why you needed to get rid of Rafael Devers. Jason Kidd, on the other hand, looked like he was in a hostage video sitting next to Nico Harrison trying to explain why the Luka trade made sense. Because Luka was well-liked, and Luka may have had some issues, you know, may have had some partying issues and stuff like that. But, you know, there were no reports of Luka being a bad teammate or not trying to do, you know, not doing things on the court or within the context between the lines that can help you win games.
Here's a non-anonymous quote from a from Jim Bowden, former MLB general manager. It can't happen. This is egregious. The ego affects the progress of mankind. It always has. An ego got in the way here. Whether it's the chief baseball officer, Craig Breslow's ego after Devers wanted to meet with Alex Cora and the owner, or whether it's John Henry's ego upset that he's paying a guy $300 million that didn't want to run over to play first base. I don't know the reasons behind it. They have their own reasons, but no, this is unacceptable.
Yeah,
And it's apparently standing in the way of the progress of mankind.
Yeah, progress of mankind. I saw the video of that clip. Bowden actually did a good job with it. He brought up actual examples from when he was a GM where he had to kind of massage situations like this. And I could see where a GM would, like an outsider looking in, would look at it that way. Like, you let egos get in the way of putting the best baseball team on the field.
It is. Because I remember thinking this in the NFL all the time, man. There'd be issues on teams where it's just so evident that sometimes there's a little too much testosterone in the organization, and our inability as men sometimes to actually talk through things. Like, there were rifts and grudges and everything else that could have been dealt with a really good marriage counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that. Just like if guys just could communicate a little bit better and have open dialogue, that some of these things, they get to a boiling point where it feels like there's no way out, or that something's got to break. And once it gets to the point where he's getting traded, maybe it is too late. But the way everything is handled right from the moment they sign Alex Bregman, really. Mm-hmm. That's where you got to be really proactive about being sure that everybody's on board and that you've got a conversation with Devers, because you can coax these things along instead of just being like, he'll get over it. Sometimes guys don't get over it.
It is.
Especially when they have guaranteed contracts.
It is.
That's the problem.
Right.
It's easier to get over something when you need the money.
It is wild that tangentially the Astros are at least have a bit role in this whole thing, and that Bregman, you know, they're the team that allowed Bregman to walk. And Bregman coming there appears to be a big factor in what ruined the relationship between Devers and the organization. I love that. Good job, Jim Crane, letting him walk and ruining the Red Sox.
I had a conversation with a guy a while back that I learned had basically hated me for like 5 years. And I realized that he didn't, not a lot of people hate me, mm-hmm. That actually know me.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people that hate me because they don't like me on the radio or whatever, but which is fine. This guy, I didn't realize that he hated me like he did. And it was honestly over the dumbest, stupid misunderstanding about a certain situation.
Wow.
And it was like, we cleared it up. And he was like, I'm sorry I hated you all those years.
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot of time wasted. Yeah. I don't know who this is, but you might have ended up being good friends.
But it was one of those things where I could sense that the guy wasn't happy with me, but I didn't worry about it too much.
Yeah.
So I should have at some point. Yeah. I just didn't realize it was as big a deal as it was.
Yeah.
But I should have addressed it. It was a small, in my mind, it was a small thing.
Right.
If I had just addressed it, it would have been 5 years of him not having that hatred in his heart, you know?
Oh, man. I can't wait during the break to find out who this is and why it's Ben.
I don't think you know.
And why it's Ben Gary. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Ben, I don't. Yeah, see, I got to probably have a conversation with him. I'm not sure Ben's all that crazy about me.
I don't know Ben hates. Hates anybody. Yeah.
We don't have to have a conversation, Ben.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you're good.
You're not going to do one of your stupid things where you want to talk about it? Okay.
Yeah. The worst. All right.
Let me passively aggressively address this.
Final segment.
During the break.
Final segment coming up. We will find out what the guy's got going on in the loop. The GOAT is back in a sport that I actually love. We will talk about that coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.